back in November of last year, a great American journalist, Michael Howdern, had written a piece about a very mysterious pollution that's been discharged into the community next door where I live, literally 7 miles away, in Waukegan and Gurnee. And it's a sort of a very nice community and with a very strong, very unsuspecting rise of cancer, specifically when it comes to kids and leukemia and so on and so forth. And it turned out to be the two plants, one of them by MedLight Corporation, the other one by Vantage Corporation, which actually has also pretty big presence in Europe, has been discharging ETO above any kind of normally accepted norms, which are considered normal. So it is basically a environmental disaster area. As it turned out to be, our government...
It causes cancer, I read here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's been proven in the European Union, and a lot has been banned, although EU also produces it, but mostly for export, that those particular gases, this particular component is being used mostly for sterilization of... used to be for food, and now it's also used for sterilization of the medical equipment.
Oh, one thing that is interesting, Derek, is I see that it's... I need to make sure to read this correctly, that Ineos is one of the is a major producer of ethylene oxide. Yes, that's interesting because there's a lot to do about them because they want to build they want to invest $3 billion in the port of Antwerp in ethane and propane dehydrogenation. So then you make ethylene and propylene, mainly for plastics production. So, but it's contested because they're going to use shale gas liquids for that, and that's why it causes some
Well, realistically speaking, this stuff has demand in a marketplace. It just cannot be avoided because it is part of the civilization process where those things have to be used. Although there for medical sterilization process, there are different chemicals which are non-lethal and much, much less invasive to the environment already have been implemented in the European Union, and there's no problem. Obviously, this to change over costs a lot of money and is capital intensive. But what's really makes it interesting story here is that it's been hidden for a long time because those plants are operating in residential areas without any prior warning whatsoever. And it's funny, Gurnee is sort of a kind of upper middle class area where the houses are quite nice, and it's been considered one, you know, in Lake County where I live, one of the good areas that people can wind up living. And until this whole thing blew up, where automatically you have a huge decrease in property values at once, and it's the second, people are really unsuspected they've been poisoned for so many years. Turned out to be a very interesting story is that yesterday there was a meeting in my local college about this. First meeting, which people organized themselves into some kind of ETO fighting coalition. Over 200 people showed up, a lot of them wearing T-shirts, and there were local politicians, Democrats, have kind of put up the show for this because next year we are having presidential elections as well as the local elections, and our political class wants to benefit from it appearing that they want to do something about this. And Illinois director of Illinois EPA showed up, Mr. Kim, able to throw some questions at him personally because I did send him a few weeks ago some questions and I've obviously got no answer. So it's only 10 minutes of drive away from me, so it was really good for me to see him in person. And what it turned out to be is that ETO emissions are simply not classified as lethal when it comes to the real number, means the dosage. So there are guys, and this is what real problem is. Our corporate lobbyists were able to whittle any kind of regulatory framework that any kind of number, which is considered quote-unquote binding or as a warning sign, is what they consider a guideline, not regulatory requirement. Therefore, people are simply flabbergasted. And honestly, the meeting took 3 hours, and few times it was really heartbreaking. There's a woman, she's got a 3-year-old boy with leukemia. She broke down. She's other families, they were not in any shape to even attend this. They're so heartbroken. And people are simply begging our, literally using the word begging them to do something about this, shut down the plants and so on and so forth.
Is it a new product, or has it have the allowances been relaxed, or the amount, the emission levels?
That's the problem. One of the questions I posed to the Illinois EPA head was, why, when he knew it was a problem, why he didn't go to, because one of the lines of defense was that he's only empowered by Illinois legislature to follow the law, and he does not have regulatory power to shut the plant down when it causing harm to the community. And my question was, well, if you don't have this regulatory power, why can't you go to the federal EPA? And by the way, federal EPA failed to send a representative to the meeting yesterday for the obvious reasons, because, you know, the regulatory framework, and we had a problem with Scott Pruitt being head of the EPA here in Washington, a lot of different things. And, you know, and Trump is preoccupied with a lot of different things right now. And, you know, the environment is basically last of his worries right now. So anyway, what really got problematic here, and Director Kim was right about this, that his organization is not empowered to shut the plant down when it's causing harm, visible harm. And second of all, he was unable or unwilling to go to federal government, because federal government can send the inspectors and basically issue an injunction in court to have the plant just stop operating if it's a danger to the public, which it is. And the problem is, and he was explaining quite clearly, and I cannot sympathize with his views, because he's an administrator, he's not an enforcer in this case, that since he's got no clear guidance of what's the benchmark, cutoff benchmark, where the ETO emissions are considered lethal or dangerous to the environment, he doesn't have that. There's only, quote-unquote, recommendation or guideline. Which guideline means everything, nothing. Position, basically. Yeah.
So the rules and regulations haven't really deteriorated. It's always been like that, because
in this case, yes. Mm-hmm. In this case, yes. But what's troubling here, there have been millions, literally hundreds of studies done about this worldwide. They show very harmful effect to health, specifically towards the kids. And we're talking about a plant that's located less than half a mile from a schools, for example. I mean, this is truly a reprehensible situation where our future generations are being affected by this. And it's a real, and this is something that's pretty much on, you know, on everyday level of business, let's say in China, in India, Indonesia, some other developing places. But this is happening in the United States right here, right now. And the government seems unable and unwilling to stop something like this. Fundamental issue with the ETO situation is such that even if this stuff has to be produced, it can be produced somewhere where it's far away from a human inhabited areas. And, you know, we have a big country. There's still a lot of areas that have this type of capability, unlike, let's say, Europe or Japan, where the any kind of harmful causation to the public can be reduced to the absolute minimum. Fundamental issue here is a social contract. Do we have a government for the corporations, or to, you know, or for population? Because it's really a, you know, a lot of things in life are very much, you know, dark, gray, or what have you. Here you have this issue where there's any kind of regulatory framework, which we call laws and regulations, that's actually protecting corporate profits versus protecting corporate life. Obviously, it's electoral season right now for next year's election. So our congressman from Washington showed up, and as well as our political class representatives. And they basically are saying they were incredibly noncommittal, specifically our local representative, Melinda Bush. At one point, it was given to her point blank. There's new legislation that is going to be introduced on a local level, Illinois level, to put the end to this. And there, people were asking her if she's willing to make a commitment to see it through to the successful end. And she was non-committal on this. Because as you probably know, the way I'm pretty sure lobbying works everywhere in the U.S., where the bill is introduced, it goes through different committees. And it's going to be, you know, parceled out and looked at, you know, from several different sides. There's a process of deliberation. And usually what happens in the process of deliberation, the lobbyist sneakily can go in and maybe put in one or two or three sentences into the bill without anyone knowing what's really going on, which simply invalidate all the regulatory provisions which are put in the bill. That happens all the time in American legislative process. So a lot of times when the final version comes up to the vote, people who are voting on the issues, they don't even understand what the issues are, but they oftentimes they don't even bother to read stuff they're voting on. And at the end of the day, what comes out at a state legislature is simply a defective product. But I think fundamental issue which is not being addressed, and it's a huge mistake our local activists are doing, not taking this issue to Washington, because federal regulatory framework is the most effective framework that takes care of the problem at the lowest common denominator that's going to apply everywhere within our 50 states. And going piecemeal, what's been taking place in the past is that if there's a regulatory framework on state level that's being implemented, a lot of corporate lawyers would basically kick the ball up to the federal level stating, well, it's not a state's jurisdiction, it is a federal jurisdiction. And they have to have all the fighting all over again. So in other words, they're ruthless and cynical to the degree of playing jurisdictional games, what the meanings of the Constitution really is, to defeat any major change over to regulate, and in this case, ETO, or can be any other product that is going to be effective right here, right now.
Yeah.
And it puts things on this, you know, on the edge to the degree where our political class wants to look good. Therefore, they're going to be making promises left and right. They want to be associated on Facebook. They want to be associated with TV comes around, stating yes for a good fight. But at the end of the day, specifically when there was a situation where one of our representatives have received money from the lobbying group that represents also chemical industry, for example, you know, I always say, unfortunately, follow the money to see if there's a political will to really change anything, because obviously money runs our system. And this is really one of the very few examples, as long as I live here, is that that something like this comes up close to where I live, and it affects so many people that I can see almost on an everyday basis, because these are my neighbors we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And it's just disheartening to see that it's being done this way.
Yeah. So what's going to happen next? You don't know?
As far as the ETO, there will be a new set of studies that our state legislative regulatory EPA is going to conduct, and they're going to probably have some kind of meeting within a few months' time about this. But as far as the overall framework is concerned, up in the air. But I also want to end this on one very positive element on this. I literally see the degree of organization of my neighbors. Literally have very well organization degree. Everybody's wearing T-shirts that are right on the message. They're fully well informed. In some ways, there's maybe a silver lining to this whole problem that it kind of wakes up people's consciousness to the degree where they finally, regardless of a socioeconomic strata or race strata, what have you, people are finally realizing in my area that unless they're going to take this issue to their own hands and demand change, demand action, nobody's going to do it for them. And this was the spirit which was really present in the meeting yesterday. And I think this is something that I was presently surprised. This is the dynamics was almost identical to what I see in Occupy Chicago, for example, where a lot of activists came out of the woodwork and they were able to present some kind of comprehensive line and program of action to make sure to address those issues. How long the spirit is going to thrive and try to change things, I have no idea. I hope it lasts, at least till the next election, because right now is the best. If we want any change on this issue, this is the best time to take it till the next year's elections. After the election, if it's not done before the elections of next year, nothing's going to change, because you're talking about 4 more years afterwards and people will forget, and, you know, political class would feel that it doesn't have any responsibility towards us. So it is that simple.